Turn with me to Revelation 21. If you have your Bibles and will look with me today. I have been, and it hasn't been just a couple of weeks here, but this has been something that I have gone back to a lot over the last probably 2 years. And I'm going to take it a step further. Last week we talked about heaven, making heaven our home. And I want to talk some more about this today and read here in Revelation chapter 21. You know, there's some reasons, and I went through a few of these reasons last week as to why that we need to talk about heaven. Why it's important that we know what the Bible says about heaven. I think that we all recognize that life is just a little short journey. Destination is heaven. And there used to be a little song, something about this world is just a dressing room. That's reality. Heaven is reality. We're just making preparations for heaven. So we need to talk about it. We need to read the Bible and study the Bible. And there's a lot more in the Word of God about it than we even pay much attention to. And I just want to encourage you to get a hold of studies along these lines, which is what I have done. And I'll recommend a couple. David Jeremiah's book is tremendous on the mysteries of heaven, and his teachings on heaven they're just wonderful. And then another book that I bought just a little over 2 years ago, it's one of these that you just kind of look at a little bit and you set aside, you look at it a little bit more, because it's a textbook. It's 500 pages. And it's one of these that just sitting there, it's just like, that's too much. I can't get into all that. That's just overwhelming. And it is. It's a thorough study it's a textbook on heaven. And just answering so many questions and giving you biblical insights. So I have been in that book for a while. And Randy Alcorn is the author. He's written lots of books. And this one is a book that's really stirred my mind and my attention toward this subject. So I want to take it just a little further here today. You know, just some reasons why we need to talk about heaven. I mentioned some of these last week, but for one, when you're born into this world, when these little babies are born into this world, they're born, of course, we're all born into a physical world with a physical body that has a certain amount of days allotted to that life. And that is only known by God. And we know that sometimes lives are lived and they're very short. Sometimes babies die. Sometimes young children die. Young people die. And then others live to be aging. And very old. And that's all in the hands of God. Our lives are in His hands. That's our physical life. But one of the things that I think about often, especially when we dedicate a baby, it goes through my mind often to consider that this is a life, but it's not just a life. This is a living soul. A living soul. This is a physical life that is going to end, but an eternal soul that will never, ever end. It has an eternal destiny. And that's an awesome thing to consider, that God, whenever He breathed the breath of life, shaped man out of the dust and breathed the breath of life into that form, that man became a living soul. And the soul of man never dies. Amen. Praise God. And so it's an awesome thing to consider. Another reason that we need to be talking about heaven, that aspect was because we are all eternal beings created by God for eternity. All of us. And then another reason is because when you live in the world, you get attached to the world. If you're not careful, you get so attached to it that you begin to think like the world, and the world thinks that this is all there is. That's the reason why that they put so much into their life. And that's the reason why that they, you know, this is the utopia. This is all that there is. And so we know that we are not to love this world or the things of this world, and we're not to allow this world to get such a hold on us that we don't even consider the world that is to come and what the Bible says about eternity and about heaven. Another reason that we need to talk about heaven is because the devil don't want you to. Satan does not want you to consider what God has prepared for you. Because if you get your thinking and your life in line with the plan of God, then you're going to be living out your days with heaven in view. Amen. Eternity in view. And that's the way that all the saints of God should live our life. That doesn't mean that we don't have a fulfilled life or a blessed life, an abundant life. Sure, the Lord has provided all these wonderful things for the saints of God in this world. And we're grateful for them, but we are living our lives with an expectancy and with a hope because we have an eternal destiny. Praise God. Satan don't want you to even think about heaven. He don't want you to consider eternity. Revelation 13 and verse 6, Satan opened his mouth to blaspheme against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. So he blasphemes the name of the Lord, he blasphemes the people of God, and he blasphemes heaven, the home of the saints of God, the home that has been prepared for all of the people of God. He's a blasphemer and wants to distract you from the things of God and from the wonderful blessing of heaven. He wants to rob you of the hope of and even the reality of what God's word says about heaven. Amen. Now think with me just for a moment. I'm going to read in Revelation 21. And, you know, God has given to every one of us, it's the gift of God. He's given to us a mind. Some of our minds are sharper than others. But we all have an ability to think and to consider and to have, God's given us even an imagination. And so, all the things about heaven, we don't know. We don't know everything about eternity. But God has given to us His Word, and He's given us a little insight from His Word. And the greatest view of heaven is given to us in Revelation 21 and 22. So we need to pay attention to this, even though you may feel like you're wading through some heavy-duty things. Let your imagination, as we read through this, and Brother Darrell's going to put these scriptures up on the wall here, and we're going to read some verses here in Revelation 21. And remember, this is John on the Isle of Patmos. This is his vision that was given to him concerning heaven. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water, of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now I'm going to skip on down to verse number 11. Having the glory of God and her light was likened to a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Now, this is a description of what John saw when he saw this new heaven and new earth. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a great reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. Now this is a description, and then it goes on to describe the foundations, all of the precious stones and the jewels that are in the foundation. It goes on to describe the city walls with 12 gates, and each gate is a pearl. It is one large pearl. Incredible. One large pearl. Verse 21. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day. For there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And there shall be in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Amen. What an amazing description that John is giving here as he receives this divine revelation. He sees all of this taking place, and then he, inspired of the Holy Spirit, pins these words to describe for us, to give us just a little peek at the new heaven and the new earth. Amen. Now we all know that we live in a fallen world. We live in a fallen world, and man, Adam and Eve, were expelled from the Garden of Eden, and that experience was paradise. It was paradise. No sin there. And they enjoyed the fellowship of the Lord himself, that would come and would commune with them and would walk in fellowship with them in the cool of the day. That was paradise. But sin brought the fall. Sin caused them to be expelled from that wonderful, beautiful place, Eden. And then the world is existing, you know, under this curse. And even under the curse, you have to admit that there's a lot of wonderful, beautiful things about this world. Even though it's a fallen world, it's still an amazing, place. So we can't even imagine the pre-fall world and the paradise and what it was like before. It's beyond us to conceive of it. But this world now, even under the fall of man, is still a wonderful and a beautiful place. Amen. Certainly is. We are to be stewards of a lot of things. We're even to be stewards of the earth. I'm not necessarily, I certainly wouldn't categorize myself as an environmentalist or an extreme environmentalist, but I do think that we are stewards of the earth and we should take care of it. Amen. And I'm not suggesting that we get out on a limb and we become, lovers of the creation more than lovers of the Creator. And I understand that that there's an extremism that has gone on in our world when it comes to that. People love the creation, love things, love this world more than they love God or the things of God, and even have made the creation their God in many cases. But at the same time, we have a stewardship in the world, and so we have a responsibility to it. But it's a fallen world. It's a fallen world, and in us there is this longing. In every one of us, there's this desire for that kind of fellowship, for that kind of paradise, for the world recovered to be like it was before. And that's exactly what is going to happen. Do you see? We are right now. We're picking up speed right now. We're really picking up speed. We're moving so quickly toward the coming of the Lord and the rapture of the church. I mean, we're accelerating in speed right now. Much of the things that are happening in our country and in our world that are just reminding us that things are changing, and they're changing very, very fast. And the Pope's resignation and the choice of the new Pope, no doubt is going to play into this. Most are predicting that the new Pope is going to be much more of a liberal and a socialist, to kind of keep in line with the direction of the whole world. And the previous Pope that just resigned, and by the way, there hasn't been a Pope resign in 600 years. And that one resigned because he was under pressure and being forced out. And so you can see the significance of the time and the events that are happening right now in our world. The rapture of the church is getting very, very close. Hallelujah. Amen. And so a little time line here: the rapture of the church is the next thing on the schedule, and then there's going to be the 7-year time of tribulation. At the close of that 7-year tribulation, of course, we're going to be out of here. The church, born again, we're getting out of here. I personally believe that the man of sin is going to be revealed almost instantly when the church is gone, and everything is going to be set up and in line for a leader who has that kind of influence and power. And when the church is raptured, that restraining force is gone, then that Antichrist is going to step on the scene and begin his evil work. The close of the 7-year tribulation is going to be the second coming of the Lord and the battle of Armageddon. And then that's going to begin the 1,000-year millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. And during that 1,000 years, Satan is going to be bound, and he's going to be in that bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And there's going to be peace, amen, from all the influences of the devil during that 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. At the close of that time, at 1,000 years, I'm just going through this quickly here. I know that you're aware of this, but just want to get up to where our text is here. At the close of the 1,000-year millennial reign, then we know that Satan and all workers of iniquity are going to be thrown into the lake of fire, and that's it for them. That's the end. We'll never hear from them ever again. Praise God. But then comes the change in this world and in this earth. This world is going to it's going to be completely transformed. Amen. Into a new earth. And some have believed that this earth is going to be completely and totally annihilated. But most of the scriptures that talk about the new heaven and the new earth are describing an earth that has been refreshed and has been renewed. And so it's going to, according to the word of God, it's going to burn, and it's going to be purged of all that is wicked and evil in this world. Amen. Hallelujah. And then there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And that's what John saw. He saw that. Now, our title today, we sing the song, "This World Is Not My Home." But in reality, not the world like we know it, but the world after it's renovated and changed, this world is going to be our home. Amen. Amen. And what John saw was the revelation of this, the change that was going to take place. And he said, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." There was a change. There was a renovation. Let me give you several other scriptures other than the book of Revelation. Isaiah 66 and verse 22. "For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord." God is going to do a transforming work. And this earth, the promise was to Noah when that rainbow was in the sky after the earth was destroyed by the flood. God promised, never again is it going to be destroyed. But then the condemnation was going to be by fire. It's going to be a purifying. And everything that is a reminder of the past, the former things are going to be gone. Amen. What does that include? It includes a lot of things. All the cemeteries are going to be gone. All the fossils are going to be gone. Every reminder of death and dying and sickness, every reminder of wickedness and the works of evil, all of those things are going to be consumed and gone. This earth is going to be purged. Isaiah 65 and 17, "For behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind." Praise God. There's going to be a transformation that's going to take place. 2 Peter 3 in verse 13, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." This is going to be the home and the abode of the people of God throughout eternity. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 10, "And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed." Glory to God. So everything of the old world is going to be like a garment taken off and folded up and just cast aside. It's all a part of the past, never to be remembered ever, ever again. Hallelujah. Now that's what John saw. He saw the new heaven and the new earth. He saw that amazing city coming down from the heavens, coming down to this earth. And he gave the description, he even gave the dimensions of this city, which is incredible. Brother Darrell, put that up. 1,400 miles long, 1,400 miles deep, 1,400 miles high. This is a bit, you say, how's that going to work? That's going to throw this globe into chaos? How is it going to stay on its axis? God holds it all in His hands. Hallelujah. He holds it all in His hands. Now, can you imagine? This is the size of this city. And that's just the dimensions, 1,400 miles in every direction, including straight up. This is the city of God coming down out of heaven. Praise God. Amen. What's going on in that city right now? Well, Jesus said, and it was there, which was our text last week, told His disciples that in My Father's house are many mansions. And the word there really means many different rooms. Many different rooms. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now, I personally believe that all our friends and loved ones that have already gone to heaven, that's their dwelling in that city, that heavenly city. Hallelujah. Amen. It's more than you can even fathom or comprehend what it's made out of, and the streets that are transparent gold, and all the different levels of this city, and all the amazing things about it that we can't understand or comprehend, but it's a glorious thing to think about. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That first verse says that when He saw the new heaven and the new earth, the first was gone, the first earth and the first heaven were passed away, and it says there were no more sea. No more sea? What does that mean? No more oceans? No more sea? Well, that's what it says. That's what it says. Two-thirds of our world is what? Oceans. Oceans. And in this new world, this new earth, no more. No more. The only thing that's going to exist in this new earth will be fresh water. That is described there in chapter 22, that river that flows out of the throne of God and its tributaries that spread throughout this new earth, and everywhere that it spreads, that there are trees that line this river, and every month it bears a different fruit, and the leaves are for the healing of the nations. That's what it says. Praise God. What a wonderful thing. Now is your imagination working? Are you thinking about it? God gave you the imagination. Just think about it. Try to imagine the glory and the wonder of this amazing place. And don't allow yourself to get so connected and so involved and so attached to this old world. Because it's temporary. This is permanent, what we're talking about. Permanent. It's the permanent dwelling for the people of God. The new heaven and the new earth. He saw, John said, I saw the holy city, this new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. Amen. What a sight to see this magnificent city, 1,400 miles square, this cube, this city that is glowing with the brightness of all of these jewels and the transparent gold coming down. And the throne of God is in the center of it. And the throne of God Himself is the light of that city. Amen. Can you imagine the reflection of the light of God over all these jewels and these pearls and all of this? No, I can't imagine it. It's amazing. No more need for the sun or the moon. It says, not necessary. Don't need the sun or the moon anymore. Amen. He's the light of that city. He's the light. Hallelujah. Now, if this big cube that comes down, this city of God that comes down, if you think it could throw the earth off of its axis, remember, it's going to be a new earth. It's going to be in the hand of God. And not only that, if there's no more sea and two-thirds of this world, this earth is made up of salt water. One writer, I forget which one of them was I read after, was describing the fact that most of these are salt water, and the salt is there for purification and to destroy all of the decay and to keep it to keep the ecosystem in balance. And so since there's no more death and no more dying and no more decay anymore, then there's no need for the salt in the sea, and no more sea. Only fresh water. So all of the rest of this earth renewed and restored and refreshed by and the creative power of our God, we cannot even conceive or imagine what it's going to be like. Amen. I may be throwing some of you into a spin here on what you thought about heaven. This world as it is today is not our home. But this world, as John saw it, is our permanent dwelling place. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Revelation, or 2 Peter rather, chapter 3 and verse number 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening into the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Praise God. Amen. It's all going to be burnt up, and the new heaven and the new earth and the new Jerusalem, amen, is going to be the abode of the saints of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now let's let our imagination run a little bit further. We're going to have not the physical body, we're going to have a glorified body. And the capabilities of that glorified body, I don't know. We get a little bit of insight into that just in the life of Jesus himself after he was glorified, that the elements didn't stop him or affect him. And he can be with the men on the road to Emmaus dining with them, and suddenly he's gone from there and he's back in the city of Jerusalem. Now, if that gives us any insight into how it's going to be in our lives, we're not going to be sitting down by the River Jordan, bored in heaven. Heaven is going to be a wonderful place, a glorious place. I mean, it's an insult to God to say heaven is going to be a drab, boring place. God, who created everything that is. And there's a scripture that talks about that even the earth and the heavens are going to be brought together. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 10. This is the dispensation of the fullness of times. He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and that which are on earth. Amen. I think it was David Wilkerson. I was reading through about some of his ideas about heaven. David Wilkerson, man, he had an imagination about it. He's talking about how that, you know, we're not just going to explore this earth and the areas of this earth that have been recreated that were once covered by waters. Can you imagine that? Not only that, but all of the universe and all of the heavens and all of the places throughout the universe that we will be able to understand and see and be a part of. Amen. Amen. You may not go on a space shuttle, but one of these days, you in your glorified state may be able, no difference between heaven and earth. Amen. All the glories of the universe, everything that's ever been created, all was created for you and for me, for our pleasure. Hallelujah. Now, my, this is big, isn't it? This is mind-boggling. And the more that I have read and studied about this, the more I thought, well, how foolish we are to live our lives out thinking about our little existence here. All worried about time and all worried about the things that are going. What we should be doing is planning on being ready to go to heaven. Amen. And putting your complete faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason why that people that don't know God, that think differently, they're trying to make this earth into, you know, a place of peace, a place, you know, like a earthly utopia, thinking that they can, you know, do certain things to cause this earth to be better than it is. Not so. Man and the failures and the sins of mankind, of what has turned this world into what it is today. And it's not improving. It's getting worse and worse and worse. And one day, it's all going to be melted. It's all going to be destroyed. And God is going to refresh it and renew it and cause this earth to be a new earth. Hallelujah. A new heaven. A new earth. And the new Jerusalem, that city, the capital city of the heaven. And this earth is going to be the place where we will dwell, but not just here. I believe we will have access to the heavens and to the galaxies and all of these. It's mind-boggling, but it's glorious, isn't it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we don't need to live our lives out thinking that this life is all that really matters. It's so wrapped up, so involved in the things of this life. And we need to get our eyes set upon Jesus and upon the wonderful provisions that are ours. Hallelujah. Now, my whole intention and goal in talking about this last week and this week is to stir up your interest. Stir up your heart toward heaven so that you'll set your affection on things above, not in this world. Amen. And I hope that we've accomplished that. And I've just skimmed over some of these things, but reading, go ahead and go into Revelation 22 and read all these wonderful things about this river of God that flows out of the throne room of God and all the wonderful provisions that are made available to the people of God. Amen. Father, thank you. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, for our heavenly hope. Oh, God, it is more than our minds can conceive. Lord, I thank you that you've allowed us just to see just a little through the pages of your word, a little insight to what's on the horizon for the people of God. Oh, Lord, help us to not be so hindered and distracted by the things of this life that we do not set our affection upon you and upon the things of God. Oh, we thank you, Lord, for the hope of heaven. We thank you, Lord, for the glorious plan, Lord, that is for all the people of God. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.